Today's test show will be on case 32 in the Blue Rock Collection. Joe Joza Sands Stands Still. Joe Joza Stands Still. Engel's introduction. Once the delusive way of thinking is cut off, a thousand eyes are suddenly opened. One word blocking the stream of thought and all men actions are controlled. Is there anyone who would undergo the experience of dying the same death and living the same life as the Buddha? Truth is manifest everywhere. If you do not see it here, here is an ancient example. See the following. Main subject. Joe Joza asked Rinzai, what is the essence of Buddhism? Rinzai, getting up from his seat, seized him, slapped him, and pushed him away. Joe Joza stood still. A monk standing by said, Joe Joza, why don't you bow? When Joe Joza bowed, he suddenly became enlightened. Secho's verse, inheriting the spirit of Dansai, how could he be gentle and quiet? Not difficult for Kyore to lift his hands and split Mount Kasan, letting the Yellow River through. This is the first day, officially, first day of our spring 2005 session. And I want to thank all of you for coming. It's wonderful to see you all. It's just wonderful. I saw you come in last night one by one or two by two, and it was just wonderful to see you. I know that you've had to make certain sacrifices to be here. People have had to give up vacation time in some cases. Some people have had to put work on hold or other things on hold in their lives. Some people are just starting, one person starting a new job and basically put off the starting the job just to do sesshin. I'm so grateful to you for coming. And it's a great pleasure to practice with all of you. And it's just wonderful. And I thank you for coming and doing such a wonderful job this morning. This is really a great opportunity, sesshin. There's nothing like it in the world. You know, we come here and we have all kinds of troubles, all kinds of problems, all kinds of dreams and disappointments, all kinds of aspirations and all kinds of fears. And we think these are terrifically important. And then we sit on the cushion for a few days and we get a very different perspective of things. It's really quite amazing. You know, when I was in graduate school, you know, I used to go to class every day. It was like a beating, you know, because everybody was so much smarter than I was. And I'd be sitting in class, and it just seemed like my classmates weren't students. You know, they were like professors. You know, they'd already read all. I thought we were supposed to go to school to read this stuff. It seemed like they had already read all this stuff, and they were very urbane. A lot of them spoke several languages. You know, and they'd tell jokes in French. You know, this kind of thing. You know, I'd be pretending to laugh as though I understood. You know? I have no idea what he said. You know, and or German. You know, some we'd be reading Heidegger, which I talk about all the time because it's still like my worst nightmare. We'd be reading Heidegger and somebody would tell a joke in German, you know, and everybody would laugh. Or they had all these words, you know, the Ding an sich, the Kant, they knew Kant, and they knew Zurhanden. Zurhandan, Zurhandan. And I just thought, what is that? You know, what is a Zurhandan? You know? It was just awful. And I would come home at night and I would be so discouraged, you know. But at the same time, I was doing my Zen practice. And, you know, I would go to Sesshin and, you know, I was always thinking, God, I don't know if I can go to Sesshin. You know, I should be reading my Heidegger. You know, and there was a kind of masochistic part of myself that wanted me to stay and read Heidegger. Fortunately, I didn't do it. And I went to Sesshin. And you know, going to Sesshin put me behind, you know. No question about it, you know. Going to Sesshin meant when I came back, I had all this stuff I had to do. It cost me probably, if you added up all the time I've spent at Sesshin in my life, I could have, you know, written a lot more articles and books and things like that. But I'm so glad I came to Sesshin, because when I did come to Sesshin, you know, I would just after, you know, day one, I'd be sitting there thinking, what am I doing here? You know, why did I come here? You know, I should be reading Heidegger, you know, or I'd be sitting there thinking, oh my God, you know, already my legs are killing me. You know, what? Why did I do this? You know, but you know, by about day two, Heidegger seemed a million miles away, and my financial problem, having no car, you know, was a million miles away. So many things that that had bothered me seemed so unimportant suddenly. And I don't think this is escapism. On the contrary, you know, I think it's coming back to reality. It's coming back to reality, back to the unadorned simplicity of life itself, you know, without all the veils, all the curtains, all the signs and symbols. You sweep all that away, and just being in the moment is so delicious. So whatever it is, you know, sometimes being in the moment means being in the moment with our pain or being in the moment with our fatigue, but there's something so energizing about being, about cutting through all the abstraction and being face to face with life in its simplicity and immediacy. And this is what Zen is all about, and it's what Sesshin is all about. So, you know, when I would come to Sesshin, I would be thinking about, you know, my brother is a businessman, for example, and just as he was as wealthy as I was poor when I was in graduate school, you know. So I had a Volkswagen that began to break down, a Beetle, and it had originally cost about $4,000, and when I had it, it had a value of about $4, you know. And it would break down, and then I would have no car, and I used to have to go to the grocery store, my wife and I, with our backpacks on. We'd go to the grocery store, and we'd fill up our backpacks, and then we'd come back. And there it was fine. That didn't bother me at all, you know. But, you know, the older I got, the more I thought, gee, I'm going to be 40 years old, and I'm going to be backpacking at the grocery store, you know. I don't have enough money for a car, you know. Fortunately, we lived in Seattle, so there were buses, so you could get on the bus with your backpack for the groceries, you know. And people would stare at us sometime, you know. And so I would think, you know, my brother would, you know, be in town, and he'd have his, my brother has had like a series of BMWs, you know, this kind of thing. And I love my brother, but, you know, I have to confess, I don't know, sometimes I had self-doubts, right? So, you know, I would, if it wasn't Heidegger chasing me around, it was my brother's image with the money in his hands and his beautiful house and his wonderful life, you know. And so I would feel like a flop, you know. I wasn't good enough for graduate school. I wasn't making any money. And you know, I'd go to Sesshin and I'd sit on the cushion. And, you know, after a few days, it just didn't matter. It just didn't matter. And it was so restorative. It's so healing, you know, to just be in the moment in its pure simplicity. This is like medicine for our body, mind, and heart. You know, and I mean, you're you know, maybe you'll decide at some point that this is running away, quote unquote. But I say no, this is like getting back, coming back home, back in touch, back to life and its immediacy and simplicity. You know, it doesn't really matter if you have a fancy meal. You know, if you're hungry and you sit down and you eat a bowl of rice and a bowl of soup and you have a little salad, if you're hungry and your mind has been purified by sitting in zazen all day, you know, it's heavenly nectar. You know, what could be better? You know, what could be better? You know, this morning, we've been here for a couple of days already, and I sat down and, man, that oatmeal was the best oatmeal. Oh, it was heaven. It was heaven, you know? And if you put some syrup on top and a little milk, you know, that is just heaven, right? Now, it takes a couple of days of sitting, you know, to get to that heaven. But when it comes, it's absolutely wonderful. You know, and I can't help but think, you know, this would be a better world. It would be a better world, and it would be a world that was safer and more likely to endure into the future if people could discover this simplicity. You know, it would change people's lives on the individual level, but I think it would change the whole society, because we're always, you know, reaching so nervously after this and that. And sometimes the answer, the thing we really want, is it's not any particular thing, it's just contact with this beautiful world. So, welcome to Sashin. You know, I'm so glad you came, and I hope you have a wonderful experience. You know, today's Teisho is very, very important. You know, the main subject, Joza asked Rinzai, what is the essence of Buddhism? Now, you need to understand that Jojoza, Jo is like an honorific term. Jojoza is a senior monk in Rinzai's temple. And he's been practicing for a long time, but he hasn't really been able to find it. You know, he hasn't really been able to find what we're looking for when we sit on the cushion. He must have become a monk when he was young. He's been in the temple for years. He's risen up through the ranks, but he still can't find it, you see. And so he finally asks Rinzai, you know, Master Linji, he finally says, you know, I've been sitting in the temple all these years. What is the essence of Buddhism? And, you know, Rinzai is famous for his very direct approach to Zen practice. So he originated many strategies that have become part of Zen training. For example, yelling. He would shout at people. Sometimes he would push them. Sometimes he would slap them. You know, a very dramatic style. So Rinzai, getting up from his seat, seized him, slapped him, and pushed him away. Jojoza stood still. Now, this is really important, you know, because when we come to Sashin, especially after a number of years, we lose sight of what it's all about. Very easy. If this is your first Sashin, that's wonderful, because that means you don't know what's coming, right? You know, just getting through breakfast is a big deal, right? Because it's like, what are these bowls for? You know, how can you eat oatmeal with chopsticks? How is that possible? What is this handkerchief? Is this in case I have to blow my nose? You know, please don't blow your nose into that handkerchief. You know, that's for wiping your bowl. What is this yellow, smelly yellow pickle for? You know, so it's just like all new, right? And it's all rather alarming and uncertain. And that's wonderful, right? It's terrible, but it's wonderful because you get to discover all of this in the most immediate and simple way, right? It's just like, you go to a restaurant, you eat, ho-hum, another meal at the restaurant, you pay your check, and you walk out, you know. But this is really great, you know, three bowls, what are they for, what goes in here, you know, how do I eat with these, you know, and it's like, it's a little hair raising, right? By the end of the meal, it's like, my God, I made it through, you know, I did it, I got them washed, or, you know, it's like, thank God, you know, I made it, meal number one, and I did it, you know, you feel great, you know, that's better, don't you think, than just going to a restaurant and same old, you know. Kind of an adventure. You know, we come to Sesshin and we want all kinds of things from Sesshin. You know, maybe we've been practicing for a long time and we don't have the advantage of being a beginner anymore, so that everything has a certain newness. And we come to Sesshin and we're thinking, maybe I'll have my Dai Kensho experience, or maybe I will have, I'll answer my koan. Or, you know, I wonder if it is possible that I might actually become enlightened? You know, but please put all of those thoughts away. Put them away. You know, forget about it. You know, let's just go back to square one. In fact, you know, this should be called the back to square one session. This is the back to basics session. You know, June 2005, the famous back to basics session. And the basics are easy to forget if you've been practicing a long time. And if you haven't been practicing a long time, it's a good opportunity to talk about the basics. You know, this koan is really a great koan because Joe Joza has been practicing for a long time, but he's forgotten about the basics. Now, he's been sitting on the cushion maybe for 20 years, but somehow he hasn't had Dai Kensho. How can this be? Well, when Joe Joza sits on the cushion, it's a little bit like this. Trying to get comfortable, right? Trying to find, I know how hard it is, you know. But, you know, I actually went to a sesshin up at Daibosatsu Mountain. The teacher there is a Dharma brother of my first teacher. And when I came to this area, I went up to do sesshin with Edo Roshi, Edo Shimano Roshi. And I was, Roshi was kind enough to seat me next to his quote-unquote Dharma heir. This is his top monk at the temple. And to my amazement, this guy moved, and he moved. It was like, you know, it was like, and you could hear him sigh. You know. Especially when the Roshi was out of the room, right? Edo Roshi would get up and he'd leave the room and he'd go to Dokusan, right? And while he was in Dokusan, you know, everybody was moving and squirming, you know. There was a whole lot of shaking going on, you know. And, you know, I have to tell you, if you're around people like that, you know, you begin to want to move yourself, you know, you begin to start thinking, well, why ought to join in, you know? but please don't, you know, please, this is like the back to the basic practice of Zen is this practice of entering great stillness. Great imperturbable stillness. And if you're not in that stillness, nothing can be accomplished. Nothing. So put aside all thoughts of answering your koan, or put aside all thoughts of greatness and glory, and simply focus on achieving that. If you do nothing else at this sesshin, but enter deep stillness, you will have achieved an enormous victory. You know, and that stillness is very hard to find and very difficult to achieve, even for people who have been sitting for 20 years. So, you know, Joe Joza gets up every morning and he sits on the cushion, but he's got a restless temperament. And he's never really found that deep stillness. And so he comes to Rinzai and he says, you know, Master Rinzai, you know, what is Buddhism all about? And Rinzai just, it's an emergency. It's like, you've been sitting for 20 years and you still can't sit still. And he slaps him. And Joza, is it, this koan says, Joe Joza stood still. See, this is so important. Because normally if somebody slaps him, you want to slug the guy, right? You want to hit him, slap him back. Or you want to do something. But strangely, he just stands still. It's like he's made a great discovery. Great discovery. Rinzai has helped him find his true nature, his essential nature. And what he discovers is the foundation of meditation practice. You know, it's really not possible to discover that kind of stillness in your everyday practice. It's just not possible. You have to come to Sesshin to discover that wonderful stillness. So, you know, you sit on the cushion and, it's morning of day one of the Sesshin. You sit on the cushion, you straighten your back, you find a position in which you're reasonably comfortable for about 20 minutes, right? And then, unfortunately, the sit is not 20 minutes, it's 25 minutes or even 30 minutes. So after about 20 minutes, something is going to start to hurt, or perhaps some combination of things, right? So after 20 minutes, your left leg starts feeling uncomfortable, right? Or maybe the muscles in your back start to hurt. Maybe that your neck muscles are getting a little tight. Maybe your shoulder hurts. You know, I mean, how do I know this? Well, I have a body too, you know. So after 20 minutes, my body begins to get tired too. So, you know, one thing you can do, one way you can respond to that pain or that discomfort is try to find another position. But, you know, it takes people a long time to learn this, but no matter what position you adopt, there's still going to be discomfort eventually. So if you change positions, it might buy you a little time, but you'll probably find that the more you change positions, the more you need to change positions. And so your pain or your discomfort will push you all over the zendo, and you will be basically in a losing struggle. So the common human response to pain is to either fight or run, right? This is the fight or flight mechanism. So when you begin to have pain in your legs or in your hip or in your back, there's a part of your body and brain that says, get out of here, you know, change your position. But if you do that, as I said, you'll be satisfied for a matter of seconds. And then more and more throughout the sesshin, you'll find the desire to move grows stronger and stronger, and your endurance grows less and less. So the intervals between moving will become very short indeed. And nothing can be accomplished in that state. Don't even dream of answering your koan if you cannot enter that basic stillness. Now that's the foundation of all meditation practice. That's called shamatha, or stillness. Okay? So before you can go on to advanced practice, various forms of vipassana, mind must be deeply stabilized. So shamatha, see. So you're sitting on the cushion, your back is bothering you, your knees are bothering you, you know, strange muscles you've never felt before are bothering you. And you want to move, but if you don't do that, what can you do? You can watch your breath. So you squeeze the hara, the dantian, and the breath goes out, 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 out. See? And then it goes out, 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 out. And then it goes out, 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 out. If you really watch the breath as it goes out, 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 you'll probably notice eventually, that the pain disappears as you're breathing out. So you have pain in your legs. If you have pain in your left leg and you visualize your left leg, you're done for, right? If you think about moving, you're done for. But if instead of moving, you follow the breath out, 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 you'll begin to notice that when you squeeze the breath out, or when you follow the breath out, the pain disappears. It's when you're drawing your breath in that the pain returns. See? So there's a kind of deliverance or liberation in the breath just waiting for you if you can only take advantage of it. And it's much superior to moving around on the cushion. So if you follow the breath out, 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 it takes you to this. It eventually, well, each time you turn away from the pain and you follow the breath, you get a little couple of seconds of respite, of break from the pain. And then the pain comes back. And then you follow the breath and it goes away. And then the pain comes back. And then you follow the breath. But something is happening to you as you go through this process. Your mind is descending deeper and deeper into an elemental stillness. Elemental stillness. This is so vast, people don't even realize how vast it is. This vast, abiding, unshakable calm. You know, somewhere in your breath, there is a place which is like the eye of the heart. Of a tornado or the eye of a hurricane. You know, the whole world can be swirling around, but in this place, it's absolutely still. And how to get there? Just watch the breath. See? I mean, you have a panic reaction in the presence of pain, and it kicks in on many different levels. It makes your muscles tight, it tightens the muscles around your throat, and so on. You've just got your, you know, but that pain reaction just gets stronger and stronger the more you give way to it. So instead of giving way to it, fix your mind on the out-breath. Follow it out, 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 out. And then each time pain arises, see, you begin to respond differently to pain. You stop being panicked by it. You stop having all of these basic muscle reactions and so on. And you begin to create a kind of space for your awareness, spaciousness. And as you push out, you follow the breath out, 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 out. Each time you enter this stillness, you know, it begins to have an effect, and your mind becomes more and more quiet and still. And this is really amazing. This is, you know, infinite. Imperturbable calm. It's you might have maybe a few seconds of this in any particular day, you know, but when you hit it, you know, that's like Eureka. That's it. You know, that's the foundation of Zen practice, is that unshakable calm. It's important not to think that your pain is uniquely terrible, okay? You know, when I was a Zen student, I used to sit next to Genki Roshi sometime. And Genki Roshi was a wonderful teacher, but in some ways it was very demoralizing because he made it look so easy. You know, he always looked totally calm and crisp. He sat down on the cushion, didn't move for an hour and a half, got off, immediately bounced up on his legs, you know, and walked off to eat or whatever. Didn't faze him at all, you know. Basically, that was somewhat misleading because Even Genki Roshi had pain, you know. He just didn't show it because he had discovered this deep stillness. Fortunately, I'm not as good as Genki Roshi. So sometimes you can tell I'm really trying, you know. Because no human being can do this and not feel pain. There isn't somebody somewhere like the Dalai Lama who feels no pain when he sits for 10 hours a day. There is no such person. Even the Buddha had pain in his legs. So that makes it all the more important to think, why didn't he quit? See, why didn't he just quit? Why didn't he just start? But somehow it's possible not to go down that road. You know, it's possible not to go down that road. It's hard. I mean, I've been there. And Sesshin, you know, my first Sesshin, it was just murder. You know, murder. If you have to move, if you're in agony, move. There's no shame in that. We have some chairs in here. You know, if at some point during the Sesshin you're just in such agony you can't stand it anymore, sit in the chair. Nobody will think less of you. Probably everybody in this room has sat in a chair at one time or another. You know, basically, it's perfectly okay to do that. Don't think people are laughing at you or thinking, because believe me, they were in the chair 5 years ago. You know, have a break. You know, this isn't about being tough. It's not about being having willpower. You know, and fighting it out with your pain. That's not the way. See, you know. Sometimes, in the presence of pain, you'll hear people breathing very hard. It's like the train is coming. Uh-oh, a train is coming through, you know. But the choo-choo train approach is not going to work, you know. The best way to deal with pain is not to get tough, you know. And not that's not stillness. You know, that's like the, I'll raise my, you know, key and, you know, but your key is never going to be strong enough to defeat this pain. You have to have another approach. So that approach is great stillness. You know, so believe it or not, the most powerful breath is not the hardest breath. It's the softest breath. It's the longest breath. You know, it's so fine and soft, and it goes out, 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 out. And it's so fine and soft, you know, that if your senses are not very alert, you're not even aware of it. It's like the finest gold thread, and it goes, and as it goes out, as you follow that fine gold thread out, see, you start to disappear. Your mind becomes very, very still, and you become very, very still, and then you start to disappear. So the most powerful breath is the softest breath, this golden thread of breath that goes out, 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 out. And at the end of the breath, it's just like everything's gone. There's just this imperturbable calm. Every time you go there, it becomes easier to go there again. It's like, you know, smoking. Every time you have a cigarette, it gets harder not to smoke. See? And so, you know, every time you say no to a cigarette, you're improving your chances of giving up smoking. You're like deconditioning yourself. But so it's like a very elemental sort of conditioning issue. You know, every time you want to move and you don't do it, and you follow the golden thread of breath out, 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 you're reconditioning yourself, or you're deconditioning yourself. So, you know, every time you do that, it's a victory. It's like a big victory. And every time you give way, you're just reinforcing that habit. Now, again, I know how tough this is. You know, sometimes you're just going to wave the white flag and say, that's it, I can't go on. And no one will think less of you. You know, really, this is not about who can sit the longest and so on and so on. But if you want to know what is real practice, you know, it's not levitating, it's not achieving omniscience, it's not you know, telling me the sound of one hand clapping. Those are all, you know, in another realm. The real essence of Zen practice is this, is what I'm describing right here, you know, the ability to be fully in the moment by entering this deep stillness. See, it's like we really have two bodies. This is this sounds a little weird, but you know, we have a body which has which is a physical body we've learned to call ours, right? And it has limits. It might be about 5'8" and X number of pounds, and the shoulders are the arms, the fingertips stretched out. Those are the limits of my body, right? But in another sense, you know, we know intellectually that everything is part of a bigger life. You know, in other words, you know, you can't have birds without trees. You can't have trees without, you know, bees and bugs. You know, all of it fits together. We know this intellectually, and every once in a while we experience it. And it's probably why you're here at the Sesshin. Because every once in a while we have this experience of a bigger self, bigger sense of connection. You know, you realize, I'm not just me, I'm part of something bigger. You know, and it includes the trees, the grass, and so on. But it's very abstract most of the time. That experience is very abstract. But you know, when you don't move your little body and you enter that stillness, you undergo a profound psychological transformation. You know, you're sitting on the cushion, you want to move, but you keep going, you keep following the breath out, and you don't move. Out, and you don't move. And sooner or later, you know, your body is going to start disappearing on you. This is absolutely guaranteed. You know, you're going to feel like your face or your hands are disappearing. When I sit on the cushion and I watch my breath, you know, I begin to feel like I'm emptying out. It's like I'm draining out. The sand inside me is draining away. And I disappear after a while. It doesn't happen every sit. But, you know, sometimes I have these sits where I just feel like, it's like behind my eyeballs, everything is just draining out. And I'm just like an empty shell. And man, that is the sweetest feeling. Because then, you know, in that state, I might hear the sound of a bird, and it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. You know, you may even feel that it's coming outside of yourself. You know, I talked about this the other day, you know. I actually had an experience, a very dramatic experience, in our temple up in the mountains, Reyunzan, a cold rock temple in Washington State. You know, I was listening to thunder. We would get these thunderstorms, you know. And they would come in the distance through the mountains, and you could hear the thunder getting closer and closer and closer. And, you know, I felt like the, you know, I said to the Roshi, I said to Genki Roshi, I feel like the thunder is coming out of myself, you know. And he said, it is coming out of yourself. You know, at the time, I just thought, this is really cool. But it can't really be coming out of myself, right? But that's because I was a little too attached to my small self. But when you don't move, you leave a little body and you begin to have this, you begin to be part of this bigger body. You know, you feel, you hear the bird's sound, you can feel, almost feel the bird's song inside, you're throbbing inside yourself. You know, this is like a great body. You know, it's like the world's body, world body. Normally we stop at the limits of our little body. But when you you follow the breath out, it takes you far beyond those limits. It takes you to the bigger body, like the one life body, which is infinite in all directions. You know, in the Diamond Sutra, the Buddha says this. He says, you know, actually it's all one big body.
Yeah.
So please enjoy life in that big body. Right now this might sound like a fairy tale or an unattainable state of being. But everybody has attained that state of being or discovered that state of being the same way you are, the same way I am, struggling with pain on the cushion. And we're all faced with the same elementary choice, right? You know, to move or not to move, right? And sometimes we move, but when we move, make no mistake about it, we're making we're not allowing ourselves to grow or change. You know, and we're not going to accomplish anything at all when we do that. That there's no question of any further development until this state is achieved. So, you know, when you sit on the cushion and you watch your breath and you follow it out, 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 you begin to stand still, like Jojoza, right? This imperturbable stillness, imperturbable stillness. Wonderful. It's hard to achieve, you know. But you know, go there now. This is day one. You know, if you begin to practice in this way, as your body gets more tired tomorrow, you know, you're going to have much keener awareness. If you can deepen your calm now, you can enter that calm deeply today, when the challenge comes this afternoon, this evening, and tomorrow, you know, you'll be better able to face it. This is the foundation. You know, stand still. Normally when we're in pain, when somebody hits us or something hurts us, the last thing we do is what Jojoza does, stand still. But standing still, this is the door to the Buddhas. This is the door to enlightenment. You know, so cultivate this imperturbable stillness, unshakable stillness. And second half of the koan is I have to deal with later. But this is take a lesson from Jojoza today. Inheriting the main subject, Jojoza asked Rinzai, "What is the essence of Buddhism?" Rinzai, getting up from his seat, it's an emergency, seized him, slapped him, and pushed him away. Jojoza stood still. A monk standing by said, "Jojoza, why don't you bow?" When Jojoza bowed, suddenly he became enlightened. Inheriting, Sechō's verse, inheriting the spirit of Dansai, how could Linji be gentle and quiet? Not difficult for Kyōrei to lift his hands and split Mount Kasan, letting the Yellow River through. Now, when you live in your little body, there's no chance that you're going to split Mount Kasan with your hands and let the Yellow River flow through. But don't live in your little body. Live in your bigger body, your infinite body, which is a body of all living things, all life in all directions. It sounds very fancy, sounds very mysterious and mystical. But it's right here. You begin to experience it the minute you don't move. So this is the path to everything else. This is the foundation. So you've made a wonderful start. You know, everybody here has come from busy lives, made personal sacrifices, and this morning everybody was giving it a wonderful effort. Today, challenges are going to arise. Please prepare yourself by using your breath and entering this stillness. If you achieve nothing else at this session, you know, finding that stillness will be worth, you know, infinite, of infinite worth. So please, you know, let's get started. 20?